It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, airs on HBR1 stations, Fridays, part of All Things Considered, and then archived online at our website, HawaiiPublicRadio.org, where all of our Helping Hand segments can be found and heard. Each week with Helping Hand, we connect with an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to the disabled and other folks among the most vulnerable. Hello. Aloha. I'm Dave Lawrence, and thank you for listening. This week, we are proud to welcome back an organization making their third appearance on Helping Hand, the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii. And as the website points out, National Federation of the Blind is not an organization that speaks for the blind. It's members of our community who are blind, speaking for themselves, from raising the expectations of blind people to realize fulfilling lives to providing invaluable resources and support for people and their loved ones affected by blindness. We're going to learn about the mission. We're also going to hear about their upcoming local state convention that they are presenting. It is October 1st and 2nd at the Elks Lodge in Honolulu at 2933 Kalakaua Avenue. And it is a real privilege to hear more about that with our very special guest. Excuse me. It is a real privilege to hear about that and welcome back our very special guest, National Federation of the Blind, Honolulu Chapter President and Vice President of the state affiliate, Virgil Stinnett, and his wife, Katie Kime, National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii affiliate secretary and convention coordinator, and Melissa Scroggins, making her first appearance with us here today, Secretary of Honolulu Chapter and Community Outreach Chair of Kapa Na'i. How did I do on the titles?
Excellent.
Fabulous.
Awesome. Good to have you here. Thank you guys for coming back. I appreciate it. For folks who, before we hear about the convention and also your trip, because they've just returned recently from the national level convention, but for folks who may have recently been diagnosed with a condition or experienced a circumstance that affected their vision or are new to the organization, if you can explain who the National Federation of the Blind is and how you function.
We're the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii, and we're an organization of blind people who speak for ourselves, the blind. And some of our main focuses as an organization, a grassroots organization, is to reach out to the community, find other blind people out there, and show them that they're not alone, that we are here, and if they ever want to come and talk to us, learn more about us, we're there for them. So, and we've been here for a long time as an affiliate. Mm-hmm. I think it's well over 60 years almost. So we've been here quite a while.
How long have you personally been involved with it, Virgil?
I have been personally involved with the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii since 1999.
Okay.
Which is about 3 years after I lost my sight.
Okay. Wow. So it was a very recent thing for you to get involved with them after that. Katie, what can you add to the things that Virgil said when he described the organization? And for, again, thinking about folks who it's new to, who are undoubtedly catching this on the radio, or who have a loved one, or maybe have just recently faced a medical diagnosis, which makes the organization especially relevant to them.
The one thought that comes to my mind, Dave, is that as the National Federation of the Blind, we are a national organization as well as a local grassroots organization. We represent all our islands. We have representatives and chapters on each island available to the community. But we often joke about the F in NFB stands for fun and flexibility. So we have a good time. Even though we are a civil rights movement working for the rights of the blind of America, for each other, we do a lot of work both locally in legislation and in Congress nationally. And nationally, we're 78 years old. We've had our recent 75th anniversary. But we've been around a long time as an organized movement of blind people speaking for and with and about blindness. I think one of the big keys for me is when I first came to the NFB, I was a newly blinded individual myself. That was 1996. And I realized the power of being with other blind people. Even though I didn't want to accept my own blindness, I knew somewhere within myself that it was an important part of my life. I avoided it for a while and didn't become active until 1998 and 1999 with the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii. But I knew that in time, the power of being with other blind people would support me through my own successes and quality of life as a newly blinded person.
Dave, just one more thing. I just want to add. The organization, our national organization, has been around since 1940.
That's a very long time. And and an invaluable service, getting back to what you said, Katie. It's like it is with a lot of things. That, when you feel alone with something, but with those other people who are also going through that experience, there is some level of confidence building, no doubt, that comes with that. And the shared lessons that you go through that you can share with other people does provide support and then knowledge about going forward and being able to embrace situations. So I liked some of that in your explanation.
I was going to add this one item, Dave, is that because we are a national organization, if we don't have the answers for people that are new to blindness and come to us here in Hawaii, we have resources across the country of other individuals who are blind who understand and know the answers and the circumstances of the individuals we meet and that come to us as we go through our daily lives. So we're a huge pool of resources, both locally and nationally.
Right, a giant network, essentially.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
To expand on basically what we were just saying, that makes
Correct.
A lot of sense.
Correct.
Melissa, before I get into it, because I really want to hear about their, I'm always impressed by these trips that they go on. Every time I catch them, they've just come back from one of these. But can you talk about your role with the organization?
I am the chapter secretary. I think the main reason why I'm here to share is because this year we started a community outreach committee called Kapanai. And Kapanai means reciprocity, meaning give and take. And the philosophy behind the community service is it's yes, an opportunity for us to give back to the community, but what we hope to gain in the community is visibility for, you know, people to see that blindness doesn't mean helpless. Blindness doesn't mean, you know, you can't do things or you can't, you know, provide things for other people. So, you know, it just gives us an opportunity to be, you know, within our community and be seen in that way. So we do two events so far each month. One is the Next Step Shelter in Honolulu. Mm. We go out, you know, like six of us at a time go out and help feed the homeless there, serve their dinner for them. And it's a really great experience. It's been well received by, you know, the people in the shelter and, you know, us as our members. And then the other event is once a month we do what's called Church on the Park. And that is an organization once a month. They have a service down at Haleiwa Beach Park. And they do all kinds of stuff. What we do there as an organization is we help put together what's called a blessing bag or a charity bag, which is they have personal hygiene items. And we do it assembly line and we put these bags together. And then at the end, they give out, you know, to each member or, you know, each person that's there in the park signed up, they're allowed to come and, you know, get these bags. And another thing, just really quick, what they did this past, you know, the end of the month, this past week, which was really phenomenal, they gave out bags to backpacks with school supplies. And so it was really well attended. There must have been probably 100 people there. And they give a meal, and they also do a raffle. And so there's bigger items that they also give away at this event, too. So it's really well attended.
Is it only in Haleiwa Beach Park?
Well, you know what they do is they charter a bus. So from Waianae, So there's a whole busload of people that...
from the Leeward Coast?
Yeah, from the Leeward Coast that comes in. And they do that every once a month, too, so...
And their target is... that's more homeless and disadvantaged people
Correct.
In the community. So both
Correct.
Of these organizations are... That's fantastic. So in summary, what you're saying is there are regular givebacks from the NFB Hawaii towards the homeless situation that we've got, which has put Hawaii on a national news page.
Yeah. I mean, the next project that we have coming up is with IHS,
right.
the Women and Children's Shelter. So we plan to go in there and, you know, provide service for them as well. So we're looking forward to it.
That's great. Now, those are very important for anybody who listens to Helping Hand. We talk about the homeless crisis quite a bit.
Yeah.
So those are very illuminating. Yes.
Just to add on to what Melissa has been talking about, it's been a goal for our chapter, the Honolulu chapter, to give back to the community, because most of the time the community looks at us as blind folks as we're the needy ones.
Right.
Right.
So we're teaching our members, even a lot of our young members that come in, that, you know, it's not about taking all the time. Let's give.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do, because we're capable.
Right.
And so we want to reach out and help the folks that need help, even though society tends to look at it as, we're the ones that need the help.
You're breaking that stereotype.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Very important.
No, and I dig that.
And that's been a goal, and it's this chapter's goal this year for that. As you know, like last year, we reached out to parents of blind children, start to bring them in and educating them that they're not alone. This year, it's about giving back to the community, and that's the focus for our local Honolulu chapter.
And it's an important target, too, with the homeless as a thing to be aiming your goodwill gesture at. And it's a very important one because it's, as we said, it's kind of reframed the image of Hawaii. It has so far not had a detrimental impact on tourism. And one can kind of understand that, because if you live really far away from here and it's a dream destination, you're kind of... And it took me a while to get over this, because I live in Waikiki and there's homeless every several feet. There's another homeless person. Mm-hmm. And so in your mind, you start to think, who's going to come here on vacation if the city keeps racking up all this
right.
news? But
mm-hmm.
then you see the other side, which is a lot of folks are like, I know they have problems there, but I only have this one time to be on the planet. I'm going there anyway. It's kind of like Rome. Rome has some issues, but you're
yes.
not going to say no. And so I think that
right.
that's really cool that you'd be taking a bite out of something that is a real communal sort of problem. It's right. going to take a lot of bites. It's going to take a lot of effort.
One other thing, Dave, that I was thinking about in our outreach and our continued efforts is that blindness is not specific to social or economic individuals. Mm-hmm. It's across the board. It strikes anyone and any time and any place. It's not a educational moment that we specifically focus on adults. We focus, as you know from last year, on any age, our youth, our seniors, and our working age class individuals, because we realize that blindness will strike anytime, any place, anyone.
I know, well, you speak the truth. I mean, it's not an us, or it's not like these folks or have this. It's any of
mm-hmm.
us could,
Correct.
me included. And it's through knowing you, I have a lot more gratitude for the
right.
things that I've got that are easy to take for granted in
mm-hmm.
life. So you point out a wise thing, because it could be anybody who has to end up in needing a helping hand or in a position where they ought to really realize they've got a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
a lot of blessings to be grateful for. And, you know, when you were talking, Virgil, and about the focus on giving back and breaking these stereotypes, one of the things I think that as a great segue into hearing about the national convention, it's a real, I mean, you know, when you talk about these are people tend to look at people who are blind as they need help. But here you are not only doing these programs to help out locally in a big crisis, but you go far from Hawaii, representing the organization, plugging into this larger network, as Katie was talking about. If you can, describe that national convention and the way that it empowers as well and provides some of the maybe some of the details about what went on this year.
Well, the national convention that we have is held usually every summer around the 4th of July week. And it's a great way for us to, especially to bring our new members locally and bring them to a national event so that they can see for themselves that they're not alone. And then to see anywhere on up from, let's say, 2,500 to over 3,000 blind people roaming the halls and going through the convention hotel independently. I mean, just that alone is empowering to any brand new blind person that we bring out there. Just for them to see this, it gives them hope. Just like last year when we brought
Rachel and Aurelia.
Yes. To the point that Rachel mentioned, now she's not afraid because she knows that, you know, there's things out there for her daughter. You know, so she's happy. And same with Anastasia. Every blind people that we do bring in, I think it changes their life. I know it changed mine when I experienced it.
This year we actually helped one of our newer members who just transitioned, I should say. But he's a young blinded veteran, has served our country as a warrior. And he came to our chapter, learned about his own blindness, began to accept his blindness. He came to our national convention with us, and he met other veterans. And from that, he gained the confidence to go back to school. He just was accepted to the International Florida University to continue his MBA, and he just left this last week because of going to our national convention, because of seeing other blind people being independent and going out there and seeking their dreams and finding their dreams, and other veterans who had been blinded by serving our country. So it's truly, as I said before, it's not specific to social economic individuals or age, but it's a time to come together and learn about yourself, recharge your battery, so to speak, and get back out there and pursue your dreams and attain them.
Well, it's kind of, I remember, I guess as Virgil was talking, I remembered something that Rachel had described about Aurelia, her young daughter, and using her cane.
Yes.
And they got her a little cane, and very quickly she could hear all the tapping, and she could hear, right? And it was in that way itself, you talk about the impact on a really, really young child, that is like a real shaping and positive shaping experience.
I believe it was on something her mother posted on Facebook, but apparently she's so excited using her cane and she's started preschool that she's running around Walmart by herself with her parents with her cane. So that's a curious child being a curious child. That's not a blind child. That's a curious child growing up as a child.
Right. And this is and I can see how at that, getting that kind of head start or push, it just says that much more about the progress she's going to make, the way that she just puts that inconvenience behind her.
And, absolutely.
and heads out. And that's impressive. It's kind of, it says a lot. So, and then back to the person that, this soldier, just real quickly, if you don't mind, and if it's not something, but did he lose his sight while in the service? Was it an incident that happened that he lost his sight or just?
It was during active duty, but as he described it, it was not specifically frontline warfare, but it was during active service while he was serving our country.
Right, and then something happened. So it wasn't necessarily during combat, but that...
No, but it was, I believe he said it was during practice for combat while he was doing combat.
Well, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's doesn't get much heavier than that.
No.
When we think about the upcoming event locally, because you really described, both of you, the experience of the value of the National Convention on many different levels, actually, dialing it into what's going to be coming up in the Honolulu area at the Elks Lodge, October 1st and 2nd, when this event takes place. Again, thinking about people in the community who could come to this, people who it's new to, maybe are just getting used to And getting it over, as you pointed out, Katie, it takes a little while to get used to something before you're willing to try. And it's jarring, I can only imagine. But people come to this event, people who have not come before. If you can run down over the course of a couple days the kinds of activities, the kinds of things that they would come away from it with.
Well, I'm happy to do that, but I'd like to first turn it over to Melissa. She's newer to our organization, has been to a couple of our state conventions, and I'd like her to share what about our state convention kept bringing her back.
Good one.
Okay, so there's a couple things. The first one that I went to, I'll just be honest, it was because that I won a scholarship to that, for school. Right. I was going to UH at the time. So that was really great. And that's actually the first person that I met in the NFB was a wonderful woman by the name of Nani Fife. And a long time ago, actually, I was in school. I was a single mom. And I reached out to her. She reached out to me. And so that's how I started with the NFB. And then, life went on and I went and did my own thing. And then I ended up a couple years ago, I went back to school to get a master's degree and they gave me another scholarship, lo and behold. And I've actually been a pretty active member since that one. So every time I go to a convention, I mean, it's the fellowship, it's being together, but they provide really great resources, anywhere from what's happening in education, what's happening, new things coming down, from the state as far as transportation. And they also usually talk about some kind of technology coming up, which I find usually very fascinating. There are speakers from, all different venues that come and, talk to us. And
vendors of technology?
Yeah, different technology. There's, state speakers that come. So, and then there's usually in one separate room, right, guys, there's usually an AT center set up where you can go and look at different types of technology, visual technology. So, it's really great. It's a good experience.
Melissa,
well, what I was going to say is usually we try to line up all kinds of speakers, like Melissa's saying, from folks that provide different technologies to our local politicians, from our state legislators. We've had folks like Senator Chun Oakland, Ed Case, Akaka, Abercrombie, pretty much every politician at one point or time. Even Inouye has come to our state convention in the days when he could, when he was around. But it's a time when we share with our members statewide, and it's because a lot of times our members or even other folks that are just learning about us, they're not going to go fly all the way across the continent to a national convention or can't afford it.
And that's in Orlando usually?
Yeah.
Right now it is, but we've had it everywhere from New Orleans, Philadelphia, anywhere.
Right, I get it, but still a far flight is what you're saying.
It is a long flight.
Right.
So this becomes an easier venue for a lot of our members, and it's not as costly also. And, we tell folks if it's cost that discourages you from coming, don't worry, because we'll always find a way. Well, because we try to make sure that anybody can come, whether or not they can afford to come and pay for a convention. And our convention cost is about $75. So it's not that much, but if they can't afford it, just come anyways,
We recognize that blindness in the working age individuals is actually has a very high unemployment rate. Nationally, it's about 70% of our working-aged blind adults, and all of them are qualified and trained to work, from low-level labor jobs up to high-end PhD professional jobs. But the unemployment rate we recognize is high, thus incomes are low. So we welcome anybody who wants to come. And if they can't pay, we find the way to cover that for them. That's part of what we do. We're not a free handout, but at the same time, we recognize the struggles for individuals who are blind. At our state convention, we always have a national representative. This year, we're honored to have our newest national president, President Mark Riccobono. He will be coming as our national representative. Woo-hoo. Yay! We're excited. If I'm not mistaken, this is moving into his third year now as our national president. Our previous national president served us for 26 years, a long reign. Wow. So we're pleased and honored to have him. We have a group of younger students who have collected together, and so we'll be chartering a new division of students anywhere from high school to college age, who are grouping together as a division within our affiliate to do the work that students do, to advocate for the rights of students in high school and college to get their educational needs met, and we're excited by that. We do have vendors exhibiting, and we have a variety of vendors that come. They aren't always technology vendors, but they are services specific to the needs of people who are blind and disabled.
Mm-hmm.
I think Virgil and Melissa covered a lot of the other speakers. I know that we love it when our congressional members come, as well as our local legislators, because we often have what we call resolutions. And resolutions are written to define our policies. And for example, Ho'oponopono Services for the Blind, which is a state agency under the Department of Human Services Vocational Rehabilitation, at one time we helped support the change to have an excellent training center for blind people. And we knew that an immersion experience, living and learning, was the best and proven best process. So we had a resolution at one of our state conventions to add the residential component to the program that we supported in changing the state services. That component was finally added by Ho'opono, and today it's one of only, I believe, three state agencies that receives the honor of excellent certification from the National Federation of the Blind and Louisiana Tech University in services to blind people across our country. So through the work that we do as the National Federation of the Blind locally, we've made powerful changes to the way our state agency serves our blind people, as well as what we do as individuals in our community.
And I guess also when you talk about the empowering aspect of going, when it comes to making changes in legislation, when it comes to fine-tuning ways that society can make tangible adaptations that will assist those without sight, those conventions serve a real invaluable role in that way too, because it's a brainstorming session. Mm-hmm. It can be a place where you can discover by having, you can get a consensus on what needs would be, because you have so many different people and they can all say, yeah, I have also experienced that. And potentially that's where solutions can be developed.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're spur of the moment. Often they're prepared beforehand. But if it can't take action at the 2016 convention, we make note to prepare the work for the 2017 and 2018,
sure,
and so on down the line, both legislatively as well as within our own organization, to ensure its action in the community.
The I was taking a look at the website, and as I turned to ways that, and there's no doubt, and I'm very impressed with the efforts on behalf of the homeless population, and I know your capabilities because I've met you so many times, and I have so much admiration for the way that things do not hold you back or stop you.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons I do bring you, here and request that you come, and you generously do come, is I want to try to harness the the pool of our listeners who want to help and do things. And so to assist your organization and to make it so that there are better things for you. One thing I saw on your website was the Donate a Vehicle program, where it was, I'm wondering, among things that people listening could do to try to enhance your reach as an organization, whether it's donating to you financially to expand the organization's prowess and power, or whether it's a donation like that program, which I see at the website, the Donate a Vehicle program. Mm-hmm. If you can speak to the philanthropic side of those that are listening that I genuinely want to touch with suggestions and ways that they can help this organization out. If you can talk about the Donate a Vehicle or other things you'd like to get out there, please do.
We are a charitable nonprofit organization. We don't receive any government funding, and we rely on the generosity of our community for donations. The vehicle donation program is one that, unless something has recently changed, Dave, it's only on the island of Oahu. We don't have the road service towing capability on the neighbor islands to bring those cars into the locations that then turn a donated vehicle into cash that comes to the NFB. That may be changing, but that's my understanding at the last within the last month when I looked at it. It's just one of many ways that we're attempting to fundraise monies for our organization so that we can do things such as send people to our national convention, support people like Melissa through college, recognizing that it's not just the educational needs while students are in university or college. It's also they may need a backpack. They may need a pair of shoes. They aren't working necessarily. So the scholarships we give are to provide them to continue their education and their knowledge and acceptance of blindness in their community. Mm-hmm. We
also, it helps fund certain programs like we run a particular program nationally across the country called NFB Newsline. And what that is access to newspapers and magazines across the country and internationally that blind people can just reach, grab a phone, and call into. And there's apps for it now that they could use. But it helps fund those kind of programs. And Newsline is really important because, like here in Hawaii, we have the Garden Island paper for Kauai, and then we have the Honolulu Star Advertiser. So it helps our local members
stay in touch with info.
With info locally.
Right.
And so that kind of stuff is important. And to reach out, I'd like to try to reach out to the Maui paper and the two Big Island papers because we have a lot of members there that want to be able to read them. And this is a service that we provide to anybody that is print disabled,
right?
Which means it doesn't have to be a blind person. It could be somebody that's dyslexic.
I get it.
And so what we do with this service is we provide these access to newspapers for folks with print disability. And so we'd like to get, the other papers
on board
right. So that everybody that are print disabled have access.
And that's one of the ways, that's a great point, of these are the ways that funding can make a huge difference. And these are the ways that donations can help provide for these kind of programs. And also, if I could just add one, the way that you are able to have someone who doesn't have the money to attend the convention but has a slight disability and wants to be there, that also helps to defray the cost of their admission too, so that you can get them in, correct?
Absolutely correct.
So that's a great way too.
I'm going to defer to Melissa for a minute. She just mentioned something and I didn't catch it, but it has to do with our fundraising and other programs that we do. Melissa?
There's next month in September, Foodland does Give Aloha.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can go in to any food land and you pick a charitable organization, and we're on that list. And then what food land does is they match it anywhere between 20 and 25%. So let's say you donate, you go in, you shop, you donate, you tell a cashier you'd like to donate to the National Federation for the Blind $100, let's say. Then they, Honolulu chapter, then they will match it, you know, and give an extra $20 to $25 for our organization. So it's a really easy, great way for people to donate.
Right. No, that's a great way. It's similar to how pledge drives sort of work.
Absolutely.
This reminds me, and this is an ongoing fundraiser, is through Amazon Smiles. If you use Amazon, which the majority of us do now to shop, I can't find some of the things on the island anymore because our small stores have closed. If you sign up for Amazon Smiles and put the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii, those companies that sell on Amazon that are part of that donation program, a certain percentage of the sales, and it's no additional cost to you as the buyer, gets donated straight into the NFP of Hawaii.
Just by earmarking it.
Just by earmarking.
By earmarking.
Right, and logging into Amazon Smiles. It's a great fundraising program that Amazon has started, and we as the NFP nationally have signed up all our states for it. And we appreciate any of those donations here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think it's an important thing to do. And you've laid out a lot of different ways, tangible ways to support the organization and reasons why. And it's always a real heavy learning experience talking to you guys. The website, you can take a look at them online. Hawaii.nfb.org is the online home. 855-659-9314, I have.
That's for our neighbor islands. That's toll-free to our neighbor islands, but we do have the local Oahu number. It's the same number, just the 808 area code.
Got it. And then do you want, at your website, Virgil, I see your cell and your email. Should I give those out too?
Absolutely.
And Virgil's cell is 808-722-4243. Email is 808virgil@gmail.com. Best of all, for everyone in the conversation right now, at hawaiipublicradio.org, I'll have all this contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests, which you can listen to online, archived at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we keep them. Before I wrap it up, any significant thing that you would like to add, please do.
I'd just like to say, Dave, thank you very much for inviting us to participate. This is a great way for us to reach out to people in our community, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. Every year I find someone on the street that had no clue the work that Virgil and I do that heard us on your show. And often there are neighbors that see us every day of our lives. So thank you. We appreciate it.
You're super welcome. It's an honor from the National Federation of the Blind. Today we've had Virgil Stinnett with us, Katie Keim, Melissa Scroggins. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Melissa?
You are good.
Okay. Melissa's new. I've known these other two for a few years now.
Thanks for having me.
And you're welcome. Thanks for all of you guys coming down here. God bless you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aloha.